this is what God spoke to me this last week as we rearranged the schedule. I started praying. I was like, okay, God, I'm up and I'm not ready. What do you want to say? You know, because I'm kind of prepared when I have time in advance. And we, you know, appreciate that we pray a long time in advance, get these messages set up. You know, but God is not surprised when we change our schedule. And he knew exactly what he wanted to say today. So as I prayed about this, this came to me so clearly. God wants me to speak this morning about stewardship. So here we go. The big idea, God blesses good stewardship. So let's look at a definition. Stewardship, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Please leave that slide up there until I ask you to move it. I would recommend you either write that down or take a picture of that. And as you're contemplating this right here, I'm going to read it to you again. Stewardship, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Of course, that would include money, but money is really the elementary, simple thing, and that's like an elementary principle that we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about how to spend your money and be a good steward. But I want you to answer this question right now. What has been entrusted to your care? What has been entrusted to your care? Yeah, so you might want to write that down, make a mental note. The first thing that came to my mind was my wife. My wife has been entrusted to me. I know in a modern culture, there's all kinds of ideas about what marriage is and isn't. I'm going to tell you today, biblically, and I know for me, it was such an overwhelming realization of responsibility when I started planning to get married, and I realized in that ceremony, the minister says to the father of the bride, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And normally he says, I do, or her mother and I. That is not a casual exchange in the eyes of God. And this is not a put down to women. Women are highly valued in the kingdom of God, equal to men. But we all have a function. You know, in the scripture it says this, be careful how you love and treat your wife because she's a weaker vessel. And it says, if you don't treat her right, your prayers will be hindered. This is how important, that's in 1 Peter if you want to go look it up. This is how important the stewardship of your wife is to God. So women are not ever, in the family unit, women are never in headship. They're always under a father or then under their husband. Again, that's not a put down to a woman, but that's a huge burden upon you, man, dude. Well, I just wanted to get married for other reasons, maybe, to meet my needs or something. Well, God didn't see it that way at all. God wanted you to get married for you to be a good steward of his daughter. And I'm telling you what, man, we really need to think about our stewardship of our wives. Most of us, if we're honest, take our wives for granted. We don't know what we'd do without them, but we don't know how to tell them how much we appreciate them. My son's trying to get ready to go to college. He wouldn't make it to college if his mom wasn't helping him fill out all that paperwork. Because I haven't done any of it. And I realized that this weekend. And I sat down, I said, babe, you know my love language are words of affirmation. You know that the way I try to say I love you is a lot of times through words. I said, can you just, knowing that, I want you to hear this right now. I have done nothing to help Josh get ready for college as far as this paperwork. You have done everything. Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope you hear me saying I love you for that. And she lit up. Normally, when I offer my word, it just flies right by her because she doesn't realize that I'm saying, this is my love coming to you, baby. Because her love language is acts of service. The only time she hears me saying I love you is when I do the dishes or vacuum the living room or mow the lawn. I mean, when I do something that says I love you, I've learned that. But here's what I'm trying to say. I wanted her to know because I realized she is under my care. I don't walk around. You don't lord it over them. I'm not talking about that. But you got to understand your responsibility. Your wife needs you to be a good steward of who she is. You should be your wife's biggest cheerleader. You should be the one understanding what the gift and calling of God in her life is and trying to draw that out and encourage that out, and you should be her biggest cheerleader. And I want to tell you, if we're honest today, we might not all fit the role of biggest cheerleader in our wife's life because we pretty much expect her to be cheering us on. And they do. And our wives are wonderful. Stewardship, the responsible, careful, responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. I want to be a good steward of my wife. Not that I own her, I don't mean it that way, but she's been placed under my care. She belongs to God. She's God's daughter. And when I think about how important that is, man, I want to be a good steward of my wife. Somebody yelled out real fast, kids. Our kid, we're stewards of our kids. Man, careful, responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. My wife and I were meeting with some people last night, and they have young children, and she was trying, we were trying to minister to them. They were talking to her, a great conversation, and she said to them, she said, when you have toddlers, they're chasing you. And you know, implied, almost driving you insane, right? You can't, until they just fall asleep and then they're asleep, you know. She said, when you have teenagers, it reverses. You're chasing them. Because somehow we thought it wise to give them keys and a car. And they're in this event and they're in that event. And so you're, it changes totally. Those kids, when they're little, it's easy to invest in your kids because they're right there on your heels. Now, a lot of times we're not careful to manage how we relate to that because we let that kid drive us crazy and we're tired at the end of the day. You know what? If I want to affect the next generation, my greatest opportunity is through my children. I don't have influence on anybody else in this world as much as I do my kids. I mean, right? I mean, you can look at other families, and we always say this, right? Well, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. He's just like his old dad. Well, what if his old dad was a righteous dude? What if his old dad was a man of integrity? What if his old dad loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and strength? What if his old dad was an awesome man of God? Look at that fruit. I like to give my brother a hard time. He just turned 50. And he looks a lot older than me. I mean, I got the young gene and he got the old gene, and I love to give him a hard time, but the older he gets, the more he looks like my dad. And the more he sounds like my dad. And the more the words coming out of his mouth, I'm like, Buster? Oh, no, that's Brian. It cracks me up. He doesn't really enjoy me teasing him that way. He does, but you know what I'm saying? Man, I'm telling you, my dad imprinted my heart. My middle child is a stand-up comedian. If you don't know that, you should get to know him. He'll crack you up. His greatest material for humor right now is me. And Caleb is really good at doing parodies. You know, like he'll do Donald Trump or he'll do, you know, whoever. He can imitate anyone. Well, he's got me down really good. And I made a decision the other day to not get mad about that. because I want to be a careful and responsible manager of him. It's not really fun all the time to be the target of somebody's humor, is it? But what I realize is, as long as he's in here giving me a hard time, he's still with me. And I could get mad at him and push him away and even scold him and correct him for making me the butt end of his jokes. Now, it hasn't become disrespectful or disrespectful. It's just funny. He just finds quirky things that I do and imitates them. And you know what? I do that myself about myself. I'm self-deprecating a lot of times, make fun of myself. It's okay if he makes fun of me. Why? Because I don't want to run him off because he's trying to figure out who he is, making fun of his dad. It's like God said to me, hey, dude, as long as he's teasing you, you're still in the picture. And so, you know, I'm not going to let that go on 24/7. I mean, he has a tendency to not know when to stop. And so the other day, you know, I said, that's enough. You know, and so, okay, I thought that was funny. Well, it was the first 20 times. But how am I stewarding my relationship? Because see, when those kids are little, they want your attention. When they're big, they still want your attention, but they have the weirdest way of asking for it. And you have to be a lot more, I've learned this now, you have to be a lot more intentional about connecting to your teenage kids than you were about your little kids, because your little kids are just all up in your face. They're there. Your teenagers are trying to spread the wing. I don't know yet what it's like. I've watched some of my friends and that relate to adult children, but I'm about to cross that bridge here in the next few years, and what's that going to be like? I'll need to learn that. But I'm assuming it'll be even harder to stay connected than it is to my teenagers. I do know this, at least somewhere in life, I realized my dad was really smart. I'm hoping that happens with my kids someday. But what am I saying? I'm just trying to be a good steward. Because we're going to talk about money here in a minute. You can't talk about stewardship without money, but that's the easy part. Money's inanimate. It's just something we need to use and work with. But people who belong to God, who've been entrusted into my care, man, I want to be responsible and careful with how I build those relationships. You know, when I started ministry opportunities, I got to help lead a life group years ago. And I was an assistant leader. And man, God began to show me, I am trying to give you influence and trying to put people under your care. You need to be responsible to them. How you live your life, how you reach out to them, how you pray for them, how you try to connect them. See, I want to be a responsible manager and careful of how I treat these incredible, what do we call it in companies? Human resources. Well, I don't think people should be viewed as a resource, but the greatest resource we have is the Word of God and people. People are the resource. We think of dollars in the bank as the resource. No, people in the seats, people in the ministry, people being filled with the Holy Spirit and loving the Word of God. This is the greatest resource we have. How are we stewarding the people under our care? God is a lot more interested in how you treat people than anything else in your life. So to really stewardship, sure, it's about money, but it's about so much more. It's really about what we choose to do with this life that God has given us. I know people don't really like to hear this, but the Bible does say, I will give an account for every idle word spoken out of my mouth. That terrifies me. I mean, I'm not afraid of God because I know that the wrath of God was put on Jesus. I'm not afraid that I'll be sent to hell because I had a wrong idle word. But it does tell us that we need to be careful, even in our downtime. Even in those idle moments, I'm still a steward of this life. What am I doing with what God has given me. To really understand stewardship, we must first understand that your life, your money, your time, your family, none of it belongs to you. It all belongs to God. In Psalm 24, it says this, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains." Everything you can see with your eyes, touch with your hands, experience with your senses belongs to God Almighty. We think, because the laws of our land say we own that property where our house sits, we think we own it. I do not own my house. God owns my house and he lets me steward it. I don't own my car. God owns my car and some bank somewhere. And I get to steward it. And if, you know, if I don't pay them, they come take it, right? That's how that works. But you understand, see, my property, my stuff doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And I give an answer to him for how I carefully and responsibly care for all the stuff and, more importantly, all the people under my care. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 in the New Living Translation says this, "You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body." Well, that really speaks clearly to stewardship, doesn't it? My own life doesn't even belong to me. I'm a steward of this physical body, this mind, this soul and spirit. I'm a steward. It all belongs to God. Stewardship is about honoring God in every area of your life. And get this, God blesses good stewardship. Matthew 6:21 says this, "Your heart will be where your treasure is." What does that mean? What do you value? What do you treasure? Our culture would tell us that money and power are the most valuable things in this life. Popularity, fame, money. It's going to give you power. It's going to give you cred. Right? That's what the world would tell you. But when we think of it in the best sense of my ability to think this morning, what is most valuable to me? What do I treasure? If I let myself settle into that for a minute, it's not stuff. It's not money in the bank. It's those relationships that God has put in my life. How am I stewarding these things under my care? Now, money is an indicator of where your heart is, right? It's simple. If you looked at your bank account or your credit card statement or whatever, however you spend your money, if you looked at it and lined it up, you would know exactly what you treasure. I know right now that I treasure my kids. Because when I look at where all my money goes, most of it goes to a grocery bill. I have 3 teenage boys. But you think about that. How much of your money are you investing into your relationship with your wife? And we talk about money, there's simple concepts. Give, save, live, right? Give your first 10% in offerings if God leads you. Save. Basically, the general rule, give 10, save 10, live on 80, right? That's just a general rule of how the kingdom works and how the Bible teaches. You give your first 10% to God. If you're smart, you'll save the next 10%, put it away, and then you'll live on the 80%. Simple stuff. What if you applied that principle to your marriage? How do I give my marriage? Well, I give, God, this relationship with my wife belongs to you. Doesn't the Bible say in Ephesians, the husband's ahead of the wife, Christ is ahead of the church, but this is a great mystery. I'm really not talking about marriage, I'm talking about Christ. and his church. So what you realize is a healthy marriage is a greater testimony to the world than anything you have in your arsenal of testimony resources. If you love your wife like Christ loved the church and lay down your life for her, and she responds with honoring you and following you, that is revolutionary, and the world takes notice and says, what's wrong with these people? They seem to like each other. What's going on in this house? There's order. Their kids aren't in chaos. What is up with this? See, we are stewards of something great. How am I giving my marriage back to God? And then the save part of that would be, what am I investing into my wife? Whether it be flowers, whether it be cards, whether it be dates, whether it be a vacation, whether it be a marriage conference, whether it be a book that we read together, whether it just be sitting down and actually listening to what she's saying and not just going, uh-huh, yeah, oh, really? While you're really thinking about 15 other things. How are you investing into your life through your marriage? Because see, saving money is really just investing in yourself. You're putting it away and investing in you as you save money. What about you applying that principle to your marriage? So I give it to God. This is yours. And now I'm going to invest, and I've given that to you, Lord. This is all yours. Now I'm going to invest in my wife today. I know some of you aren't married. I know some of you are divorced, and I'm not, you can apply these principles to any area of your life. I'm just saying the majority of the men in here can relate to this. You have a wife. And God wants you to be a good steward of her. Oh, I'm almost done. God blesses good stewardship. Next page. Let's look at the definition one more time. The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. That may have been up there the whole time. I don't know. What is under your care? Well, your job. How are you responsibly and carefully managing that job? That is a gift to you. I don't know if you've ever been unemployed, but I have. That's a very scary time in a person's life because you don't have any income and you're trusting God every day to make sure all the bills get paid and you're begging God for a job. Do you remember that time in your life? Maybe none of you ever had that time, but do you remember, maybe you do, and you were begging God for that job, and now every day when you go to work, you're cursing that job. I hate this job. God, won't you deliver me from this and take me somewhere else? Do you think that's really stewarding that thing? Hey, if you hate your job, do your employer a favor and quit. That's free. That's not in my notes. Deuteronomy 10 verse 14 says this. Well, make a plan, though. Don't just quit abruptly. That would be silly. To the Lord, your God, belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Being a faithful steward is seeing everything you have as God's. When you believe it's God's, it's easy to give financially. When you believe it's God's, it's easy to do the right thing in your marriage. This marriage belongs to God. Therefore, we won't do anything unholy in our marriage bed. Therefore, we won't bring the world into our sexual relationship. We're going to have a holy, righteous, godly intimacy in our house. When you think it's yours, you want to hang on to it, or you'll say, I can do whatever I want with it. This is my house. I'll trash it if I want to. No, it's not. It's God's house. These are my kids. By God, I'll treat them. I'll discipline them however I want to. No, you won't. They're God's kids, and he's holding you accountable to his standards. That's why you should come to Kingdom Families and learn what the Bible says about raising kids. Let's get off that seriousness, because it's real heavy. Let me tell you about stewardship. This just happened to me again. Happens to me a lot. I got this little sticker on my car where I can go through the car wash anytime I want. Man, that makes me so happy. I like my car to be clean. I don't like to do it myself. I like to drive through that thing. Somebody else drives it. Somebody else scrubs it. It may not be perfect, but it looks a lot better than it would if I didn't drive through there. Love it. Makes me feel so good. I got that sticker on there. $20 a month. Unlimited car wash, baby. I was driving through the other day, and I'm feeling good about that. And God tells me, give the kid who's wiping down your window very unexcellently, by the way, give him a $20 tip and say, God bless you. And I'm like, he ain't doing $20 worth of work. In fact, I could get out and show him how to dry this car off. I could show him. I'm having this argument. God said, give him a $20 tip and tell him, God bless you. I think I had the conversation at least 4 times. And I said, yes, sir. I rolled down the window. I gave him the tip and said, God bless you. Man, this guy lit up, man. What's the deal? That's God's $20 bill, not mine. And if God says to give it to the dude who don't know how to drive my car, I should give it to the dude who don't know how to drive my car. Are you with me? Man, that stretched me. And I think I understand this stuff. I teach it. I'm done now. Let's go back to the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Yes, that deals with money. But I think money's way too easy. What about real life? Real people who are under your care. Real stewardship of this whole thing called my life. It does not belong to me. Deuteronomy 10:14, one more time. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. I'm going to flip to the end here and put up some questions. This one is not on the board, it's the question I asked in the beginning. What has God put under your care? And then we can answer these questions. Where do you need to adjust to become a better steward? And what do you need to do about it today? Let me pray. God, we can intellectually agree that you own everything. But when it gets down to the heart level, I'm not sure I always believe that, because I'd like to argue with you over a $20 bill. So Lord, please permeate deeper than our minds today. Transform our hearts and mold us into stewards of everything that you've given us that's in our care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great day. I hope you'll take time to pray for each other. We're done plenty early. Answer these questions and then pray for one another. God bless you.